Allez, Vlan, c'est parti. Bonjour, je suis Grégory Pouy et je vous présente Vlan. Vlan, ce sont des partages d'expériences concrets, sans bullshit, pour mieux comprendre comment le marketing a évolué. Bienvenue sur Vlan et n'hésitez pas à vous abonner.
Alors, une fois n'est pas coutume, je fais une petite intro à ce podcast qui est, je vous l'annonce tout de suite, passionnant. On parle des plus gros mensonges dans le digital. Tout le monde on prend un peu pour son grade, que ce soit la programmatique, les plateformes, les agences, la VR, l'AI, un peu tout le monde. Simplement, cette conversation est en anglais et je sais que tout le monde n'est pas forcément hyper à l'aise. Donc, il y a une retranscription complète de la conversation sur mon blog en français, si vous voulez suivre. Et pour ceux qui sont les meilleurs en anglais, vous verrez que moi aussi, j'ai plein de difficultés. Parfois, mon niveau en anglais me fait un peu peur, mais bon. C'est comme ça, on ne peut pas être parfait non plus. Bonne écoute.
All right, so let's go. Hi everyone. This is a very special version because it's in English and I'm here in New York with Brian Morrissey, who is the president of Digiday Media. And Brian, we've met in Paris and you've got that special story.
Yes, I slept in your bed, Greg.
That's true. I wasn't there though. I wasn't there. But... So, Digiday is not that
We're just going to leave that up in this room. That's fine. I just stayed at Gregory. Gregory's nice enough to let me stay in his apartment. It's a wonderful apartment in Overcom.
That's true. It was a nice apartment.
Yeah,
that's true.
Great area.
So, what I love about Digiday, especially, I mean, there's a lot of things that I love about Digiday and Glossy, but the things that it really... popped out for me were these hidden interview of marketers who were, you don't tell their name or their company so that they can be honest, which is, I think, very interesting. And so I want to talk today about the dirty secrets of advertising on different level, like agencies, brands, but also platforms. I think there's a lot of things that people think, or maybe not, and that need to be said, really. So first of all, I wonder what you think are the biggest, maybe not lies, but dirty secrets in the industry.
I think the biggest dirty secret is that a lot of people don't know what works. I mean, we're seeing right now a crisis of confidence in digital advertising in particular, because even with someone like Facebook, they keep coming out with errors in measurement, and they always explain them away. But then when their measurement tool says that they have more U.S. users than the U.S. Census says actually exist, it just leads to, at the higher levels of marketers, just a lack of confidence in anything with digital advertising. When you hear all about the fraud and the bots and the waste, that I think from a CMO level, starting to question, wait, what's real here? Because there's been a lot of money pouring into digital media over the last year. Over the last decade in particular. And now people are stepping back. You see P&G step back and they said, wait a second here. Like, let's see about if we pull back spending, what happens? And they pull back spending and nothing happened. Uh-oh.
Yeah. But can you imagine the amount of energy people like me, but also you, but also the industry invest to explain to brands, no, digital is not scary, you should invest in digital compared to TV or magazines.
But I feel like that was marketers were sort of underinvested in digital for a long time.
Yeah.
And they were all, beaten over the head with that Mary Meeker slide that showed time spent at versus budget spent. And they were said, okay, we got to get more digital. We got to get move more to digital channels. That's where millennials are. But at this point, I think a lot of money has moved and marketers are not seeing the results exactly. And I think this is just, it's like a premature midlife crisis.
I would agree. I think there's two trends somehow. There's one trend that is digital is not cool, and it's not because you do 100% digital that it's going to be amazing. You can do 100% bullshit with 100% of your budget. That's sure. One thing. And the other thing is the society have changed, and the way people behave and consume has totally changed. So the way brands that are still spending money on their brand equity, and when you think about it, having a brand on the consumer perspective is the easiest path to make a decision. So you see an advertising on TV, you trust the brand, you arrive in the store, you buy the brand if you can. Mm-hmm. Now with digital, somehow things have changed. The consumer, it doesn't trust much the advertising. He has a very specific problem, his own. He's gonna look onto Google, find the exact product that really fit his needs, look at the reviews, and buy that product, which is not the same. So I'm not saying brand equity doesn't work. It's just that maybe advertising overall is not what matters most. So I think that's both
trends.
Right,
I think that's true. Like, what I wonder is whether, you know, the advertising is always tracked with GDP growth. So it's GDP growth, advertising growth. But what if that doesn't, we have a new article in the magazine that we're just closing right now about, it's the big ideas issue. And one of the big ideas is, what happens if that doesn't track? Like, what if advertising doesn't grow, digital or otherwise, along with GDP? Like, the industry contracts. And I think what you're seeing, like, with WPP and all of this, like, pullback from the CPG category is, maybe that money doesn't go into advertising. Like, everyone's always been assuming the TV advertising shifts to the internet, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it goes into other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. And also, when we were discussing...
Because we have an oversupply of stuff, right? I mean, we have an oversupply of media. There's an oversupply of advertising. There's an oversupply of agencies. There's this gigantic oversupply.
That's true, actually. And we were talking about programmatic and how programmatic is like when you really talk, if you have the real talk with people, it's like we don't know if it's working well. It's very complicated, actually. So there's also that. I mean,
I think, the thing with programmatic is it's architected in such a way to basically facilitate bullshit. Like, because there's so much complication in it, it creates what I call plausible deniability.
True.
At every stage of the process, there's plausible deniability for some awful thing from, like, happening. And I think the biggest problem that area has is that when a marketer looks at it, they see a mess and they think that they're getting ripped off. They don't know who's ripping them off.
Yeah.
They don't know if the agency who's pushing this stuff through their trading desk is ripping them off. They don't know if Facebook and Google are ripping them off. They don't know if some sort of ad tech middleman that they never even knew existed is ripping them off. But they're pretty sure someone is ripping them off.
That's true. And the funny
that's
thing...
That's the crisis of confidence that I think.
Yeah. And also, it's very funny how when you go to conferences, you have all those marketers telling the beautiful story. And then when you ask them, like, without any audience, they're like, that was a chance, or we don't know what we're doing, or we don't know what's next. Or...
Right. Well, that's what was the genesis of the confession series that we do that you mentioned earlier, is because, I mean, for me, and having covered the industry for a long time, you know, there was always that gap between what, you know, people said, you know, when they were on the conference stage, and then when you, like, ran into them at the bar, like, you know, three drinks later. And we thought confessions were a way to sort of cut through that, because they were never going to say, the true, full truth when, you know, their careers and stuff are on the line. So,
never.
You know, we happily trade anonymity for honesty. And I, you know, it's been good because, you know, what usually happens is the people who are in that specific field are like, yeah, no duh. And the people who are not, are like, oh, really?
But maybe that's the biggest lie of all. I mean, people don't really know what, that's what you said.
Right.
People really don't know what works or what they are doing, really. I mean, sometimes it's just like you have a strategy, but it's just like, But the market has changed so much. And also, you mentioned Google and Facebook. To me, they are the worst friend or the best enemy of brands, mm-hmm. because those guys for sure are ripping brands off. I mean, when you think about pages, how Facebook marketed it to brands,
sure.
talking about brands community and fans, and those were like things.
They got Coke to market for them.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happened, because it was about ego, brands started to advertise, join us on Facebook, and they wanted to have more fans than the competitors. But eventually what happened is that they advertised for Facebook for free.
Mm-hmm.
For free for Facebook. Facebook didn't pay anything.
And then cut them off and said...
And then cut them off.
Put a toll up on the road.
Yeah.
It's a good business.
That's a Trojan horse, right? They use brands as a Trojan horse.
But, I mean, it's the same way, like, you know, Google early on decided that they were going to sell people's brand trademark names to competitors.
Exactly.
And so it basically be you have no choice but to buy your own domain. I mean, I was recently saw the CEO of Restoration Hardware, you know, big home improvement chain, home goods chain around the United States. This guy was telling a story about how he went to his digital marketing department and found out that they're bidding on 3,200 keywords in Google. And he was like, and that they wanted to double the digital marketing budget because stuff like, you know, returns are great. They said, you know, digital marketers are saying this. And he's like, something's not right here. Why? Our sales are not doubling. Why am I going to double this budget? He said, I want you to tell me, like, which of these terms actually result in the most sales. And I said, well, we don't really have that. He said, well, then let's stop this meeting and come back with that.
Yeah.
They came back and they said there's actually 20 terms that drive 90% of the sales.
Really?
And those are Restoration Hardware and misspellings of Restoration Hardware because people can't spell.
Yeah.
And he said, we're not bidding on not just all the other, we're not bidding on any of those terms anymore. So they pulled it all and they didn't see any impact. He claims that there's no impact on, on what they do. And he was always, the idea is, well, you have to buy your term because your competitor would do it. And he's like, it's the same as going into a mall. They're going to see Pottery Barn next to Restoration Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that just feeds into this idea I've been thinking about a lot about the crisis of confidence. I mean, I think digital advertising will get over it, but I think there's been a little bit too much of a rushing into digital advertising.
For sure. That's
a lot of promises.
A lot of promises, over-promising, under-delivering. That's for sure. And what I see usually when I talk with brands is that whenever they are like afraid, they start to really panic. And when someone panic, imagine someone in the water who's sinking, when he's panicking, he's going to tap everywhere and eventually get tired and sink. And I feel like brands are doing pretty much the same. They are tapping everywhere, joining any trends like bots or VR or apps or whatever, spending a lot of money with agencies, and eventually it just doesn't work because there's nothing behind that. And instead of taking a deep breath, looking at things like these figures, like real figures, and do things that are clever, they're just following the trends because, as we mentioned...
What trend do you think that is the most bullshit that like people are gravitating to right now?
Oh, I think last year I would have said VR because, to me... I can't imagine people with masks in the dark for hours. So I think it's super useful for different reasons. Like, for example, if you want to buy an apartment like on the other coast, for example, I think it's useful for education maybe. But like when a brand do, oh, let's do an experience in the store, and you'll see.
But you can see why brands.
Yeah, but that
because they go to some event and they see people lined up out of curiosity to try on these goggles, and they think, oh my god, I'll have the they'll be immersed. Immersed
but
in my
nobody
brand.
Care. I don't want to see your boutique like it was 100 years ago. I don't care.
We actually wrote about something that I found kind of ridiculous. It was Tylenol, I think it was. It was one of the aspirin makers that actually had a VR experience for what people suffering from migraines actually.
Right.
It's like, who in the world would voluntarily experience a migraine? I mean,
I don't know.
That's insane.
That's insane. What is your what do you think is the biggest bullshit lately in the trends?
Chatbots.
Okay, I agree. I mean,
just because it's so early, Facebook particularly rushed out this platform. I mean, everyone forgets that, like, you know, most of the stuff that Facebook and Google do, like, you know, fizzles or fails. So
yeah.
There's this idea that, like, everything they do is the next big thing. It's like,
no.
Like, you know, they're good, but, like, let's face it, Google's record is, you know, pretty
bad,
poor when it comes to doing these new things. So I think they rushed out the chatbot platform. I think they're super rudimentary.
And also, I don't know one person who was amazed by a chatbot experience. I mean, you rather talk to someone than having a chatbot. It's just that it's not cool. It's just if you can have a faster answer, then yes, the chatbot is a good way of doing it. But otherwise, I'd rather talk to someone.
Maybe at some point they'll be at the point where they are solving a real problem that exists. But right now, they're just, people are doing it.
Yeah, that's PR.
Press release. That's probably their KPI.
Yeah, but the thing is that with the platform, Google and Facebook, I think what brands don't understand when they are telling things is that they are working for themselves, not for brands. They are not like... and so when they impose like format, we were talking about format also, the video format, that's one way of consuming content. But actually, some people learn through videos, some people learn through listening, some people learn from reading. Video is not the only way of learning or understanding, and yet they're pushing that so hard.
I mean, I look at publishers, and being a publisher is difficult because you're trying to serve two different audiences usually.
True.
You're trying to serve your users, your readers, your viewers, whatever it is, and you're also trying to serve advertisers. And now it's a menage a trois, if you will.
Yeah.
And there's a third character involved, and that's the platforms. And you see that with this rush to video, is it's being driven by platforms, because the platforms, you know, have decided that video is what they want. And so publishers are basically giving away their strategy to Facebook. Because when Facebook says we want video, they gotta say, okay, we gotta do video.
Yeah.
They didn't say, is this what's best for our audience?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get into a dangerous place there as a publisher, and particularly as a marketer, when you're not just focused on your core
consumers.
Yeah. You know, that's you're doing things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I think sometimes, and especially we were talking about your business as DigiDay, and what you were explaining is that you don't only have advertising, you have different stream of revenue, because otherwise for media, nobody really found the secret sauce that all of a sudden people will pay for content or click into advertising. And
well, I think what we saw was a lot of people in media had this idea based on the Mary Meeker slide that all this money was going to come across. And a lot of money did come across. Mm-hmm. Digital's grown a ton. It just happened to go to Google and Facebook.
Yeah.
And it not only went to Google and Facebook, but Google and Facebook flooded the market with so many advertisements that they could target so well that it just basically drove the price of advertising down very far. Now, what's sort of ironic or sad about this is Google in particular is preaching this idea about how all content had to be free, and publishers bought into this idea.
Yes.
So they kind of screwed themselves
Totally.
You know, and so I think what we're seeing now, what we're trying to do here is, how do you have a bunch of different revenue streams, and how can you not be dependent on one in particular, and also not be dependent on platforms? It's a little bit easier for us because we're focused media company, you know, mm-hmm. for Digiday, we're just focused on the media and marketing industry, so, you know,
and glossy on beauty.
And glossy on uh-huh. beauty and fashion and luxury, and now Tearsheet with finance. But I think every publisher is figuring that out and trying to, now they're trying to put the genie back in the bottle and go uh-huh. back and build subscription.
And what about the advertising agencies? I think Facebook and Google took a lot of their job because they are doing their job basically. They do it for free. So
yeah.
What's up with them?
I mean, I don't know. I was like in Australia like a few weeks ago, and I was speaking on this panel, and I said agencies are like cockroaches, and I meant it in a good way, in that uh-huh. like their deaths have been, you know, foretold so many times, but they always find a way.
Yeah.
So I don't think agencies are dead by any stretch of the imagination, but look, it's a hard business. You see across the board, middlemen are being put under more pressure than ever
sure.
in all areas of the economy. I don't see why agencies, the quintessential middleman, would not be put under the same intense pressure.
Uh-uh.
Sure. It's just, I mean, look at what Uber did to taxis, and like, there's tons of these intermediaries that are just, you know, travel agents used to have, you know, travel agents have pivoted to some degree.
Yeah.
And they still exist. They weren't killed, but like the industry was completely changed,
mm-hmm.
you know, by the Expedias and now Google
and so on. Yeah, and this podcast is called Vlan, which means slam the door somehow.
Okay.
Who would you like, or what would you like to slam the door to?
Okay. So I Vlan something? Is it a verb?
It's not a verb, actually. It's what we call an onomatopoeia. We do have a lot in French. It's just an expression.
Okay. Like. Okay. I would like to slam the door on, I think the sort of cult of engagement.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This new KPI.
Yeah, because I think engagement is important and all that stuff like this, but I think it's usually used as a cover.
Uh-huh.
Going back to that idea before of not knowing what worked.
Yeah.
So then the KPI becomes, oh, no, it was engagement. Like, that's what, if you can't
yeah.
prove it, it usually goes.
Yeah, but engagement is somehow it's a KPI that, again, the platform have created because, well, engagement eventually doesn't help to eat anything at the end of the day. So it's just like, yes, people engage, but why? And is it bots? Is it
right.
real people? Like, does it mean anything? Like, especially when you see, you know, the post view on LinkedIn or on Facebook, what does it mean? It means people like scroll over, but what does it, I mean, does it have any impact on something? That's also something that,
yeah.
I mean, those are the views, the scrolling thing. But then the engagement, I can like very easily. It doesn't mean that I'm super engaged with the brand.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a very soft and fuzzy metric that a lot of people fall back on.
I would agree on that. Thank you very much, Brian.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Bye.
Bye.
Merci d'avoir écouté Vlan, le podcast qui parle du marketing à l'ère digitale. Si vous avez aimé l'émission, vous pouvez le dire avec des étoiles, 5 de préférence sur iTunes, et le partager avec vos amis ou vos collègues. Je suis Grégory Pouy, vous pouvez me retrouver sur Twitter et LinkedIn sous le pseudo Greg from Paris. N'hésitez pas à me remonter vos remarques, vos questions, mais aussi les invités que vous aimeriez entendre.